This is the Friday, August 17th, 2018 version of the market analysis segment for Market to Market. The commodity markets struggled with trade tariffs and weather doldrums. An outbreak of African swine flu in China moved the hog market sharply higher. For the week, September wheat rose 14 cents, while the nearby corn contract gained 7 cents. News that a Chinese delegation was coming to the trade table helped push the September soybean contract 31 cents higher. December meal led the way, gaining 9.10 per ton. December cotton shrank 3.84 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures fell a quarter. The livestock sector finished in positive territory as the October cattle contract put on $1.63. October feeders added $2.37, and the lean hog contract rocketed $7.42 higher. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index fell 24 ticks. Crude oil dropped $1.73 per barrel. COMEX gold melted $34.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index lost more than 7 points to settle at 451.20. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you.
Don, we certainly have a lot to talk about again this week, and I want to start here right off the top to talk about China and the trade delegations that they have announced moving forward. How should producers be looking at this news?
Well, one, it's a positive because the Chinese delegation, it's a low-level delegation, but it's a group that's going to come and see if we have further talks can initiate down the road. So it most definitely is a positive, and it really did spark not only the grain market, but it sparked really a lot of the commodity markets to the upside.
Yeah, definitely on Thursday's reversals, we saw quite a bit of strength there. I think the big question on a lot of producers' minds, and my mind included, is do you think those tariffs are going to go into effect on August 23rd?
Well, you know, right now it feels like it. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the Chinese, I think they feel under pressure because typically they buy a large amount of soybeans in the fall from the United States. Fall's coming up, and the big opportunity for them to buy soybeans from the U.S. is really not going to be there. So from what we pick up, it was the Chinese Crush Association that really requested the delegation to come, see if we could get some talks moving forward. So it appears that at least we've got, something happening, but it looks like it's going to be slow. Looks like the negotiations with Mexico are probably on the front burner first.
Realistically, Don, I was at the Iowa State Fair this week, and I talked to quite a few producers who were in the mindset that this was going to be something that was wrapped up here within the next couple of months to the end of the year. Do you think that that's possible? I mean, what are you looking at for a timeline to get these trade negotiations kind of filtered through?
Well, we're most definitely in a politically traded market, so it's dicey all the time. And you can see what happens just when we have talks, looks like we're going to initiate, we go up sharply on soybeans. So if something would turn out a positive from the tariffs, we'd probably be up sharply. But I think you have to be careful from a producer standpoint and continue to do timely marketing and do some risk management that gives you the upside but still protects the downside, because you just don't know what the real climate is. But I think the push is on, and it feels like it's optimistic, but we'll see.
Okay. Don, I want to transition here into some more optimistic news. When we look at the wheat markets, they had some stellar export sales last week. What's going on there? Why did we see those strong export sales?
Well, the wheat market is the one that is really the bullish class of all the grain markets. We've got a very tight world situation. Stocks to use is the lowest we've had since 2013. We've just had too many world problems with weather. Argentina had a problem with a drought. Then we had Australia in a drought. Then the former Soviet Union in a drought. Then Europe, and now even Canada has some issues. So the bottom line is the world production is just shrank enough that the U.S., only 7% of the world market, is we're trying to shift the export market as much as we can to the United States. But at the same time, we can't run too fast to the upside in the wheat market or we lose the business. Russia just picked up the Egypt business last week, but we were very close. We're only $5 a metric ton under the cheapest wheat in the world, and that's Russia.
Russia also announced today that they're going to limit their exports, and that was after USDA increased their production by 1 million metric tons. Do you think that that could really happen? Will Russia cut their exports?
Well, you know, I think it would be, I think that's very much iffy yet, because, there's some reports that they're going to, others are not. I think that's a last choice, actually, because who wants to cut the exports, because then you lose the business to the competition. So, but I think one thing it does signal, it says that their production is short and that their supplies are tighter, and so they're watching it very close, and that's a good sign from a market standpoint.
With all of these factors being said, do you think the U.S. is positioning themselves to, I guess, fill in the void of some of these export markets that might get cut, like Russia, like EU, like the Australian market?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that's really what's happening. If you look at Europe, for example, they've made new yearly highs on both corn and wheat. So you've got a market over there that is tight, and the United States most definitely has a chance to pick up that void. And, from a U.S. standpoint, the positive is looks like we're going to have some solid moisture in the southern plains to start our wheat production here.
All right. Let's switch over here and talk a little bit about corn. Does corn have the potential to rally if the bean markets continue to show some strength, or if beans and wheat don't follow the corn market?
Well, the corn market is right behind the wheat market. It's not a bearish situation. Our world stocks to use ratio are at multi-decade lows. A lot of people don't realize that. Our world supplies ending stocks are down 1.5 billion from last year. So it's not that we have a real negative situation. It's that we're carrying we're carrying the lion's share of the ending stock. So it's one that I think it's hard to go up right now because it's harvest time. Typically it's very hard unless the yield's getting smaller. We don't know. That's going to be a big question mark
right. Going
forward. And that's really what the debate's going to be, is the yield getting smaller or not. And that'll probably give us our direction.
I want to come back to the yield question here in a second. But Don, from where you sit today, are you more bullish the wheat market or the corn market moving forward?
Well, I think you have to be both bullish on the wheat market, because typically the wheat market seasonally moves higher from now really into February. And we have too many world problems. And so the world does have to produce a decent crop this next year. So demand's too high, supplies are too tight, and it's a dicey situation.
With Thursday's reversal, have we broke through any key resistance that you were watching?
In the wheat market?
In the corn market.
In the corn,
yes.
Yeah, I think when you look at the corn market, we're in a big trading range. The supplies most definitely can push these corn down to 350 to 360. Don't think you could go much lower than that. And that's if the yield goes up like it has, for the last 5 years, the yield has gone up. So that's a big question mark. We're going to have the pro farmer tour next week. The trade's going to watch that very close. It's the, I guess now we call it the Farm Journal tour, but they're going to watch it very close to see what the yields are. But the top side, because it's harvest time, still big enough supplies, big carryover from last year. 385 to 395 is also going to be tough, but there's big carries in the corn market also, and those are big opportunities.
You mentioned the crop tours there that do start this coming week. What's the market going to be paying attention for there? Do you think it's going to be the yield is what is going to come out of the crop tour and could affect the markets?
Yeah, I think the big debate on the corn is the government, if you remember, they really did ear counts and pod counts, and it's all up to the weight. I think the trade's going to look very close to see what they have for factors on the wheat or on the weights, and because we're running into too many areas where they think that the weight is not there, and that's really what we sell is weight, not kernels.
Let me ask you this, Don. We have low-level trade talks with China next week and the crop tour. Do you think which of those two is going to get the bigger story in the markets next week?
Well, it is going to be a big news week next week. There's no doubt about it. We're going to start out Monday with the crop tour. I think that'll be a headline to start out with. And then I think right behind it, we'll have the talks. We don't expect a lot out of the talks, to be honest with you. So that would be a big surprise. So it's really probably going to be the yield tours more than anything else. But then right behind that, we're already starting harvest down south. And so we're going to listen to real yield results from down south to give us a direction. And remember, for a market to go up into harvest, you usually have to have the crop getting smaller, not bigger. So it's a key time right now.
It definitely is. Don, I want to talk about soybeans. We talked a little bit about the trade news going on there. I want to talk about South American production. You're a world traveler. Have you heard any increases in South American production in bean markets and in bean production for next year?
Well, you know, we have, and because that's the next crop up to bat is South America. And the early estimates are up 3.1% on soybean acres and up 7.5% on corn acres. So most definitely, I think you get a prelude to what the world's trying to do. They're trying to take advantage of some of these prices. Remember that the soybeans in Brazil, for example, are about $1.80 higher than we are. So while our prices are a bit lower because of the tariffs, they have still strong prices.
Okay. Don, I want to talk to you a little really quick here about a strategy question we got in on Facebook from Shane. He said, what would be a good time for a fall soybean strategy for a producer that has to store all beans in commercial storage? Would it be the same for corn and beyond?
Well, I mean, I think we have a very good one that we think you can implement, and that's give yourself some upside because we don't know what's going to happen with these trade talks for sure, but protect the downside. You can buy some 820 January puts, sell mm-hmm. some 840 January puts, and sell some $10 calls above it. So you have a range up to $10, and you're still protected at 920. 840 is probably low enough for right now. And remember, the soybeans have a tendency to bottom that first week of October.
Okay, because of harvest and whatnot. Let's talk a little bit here about the cattle markets. Live cattle is what I want to start with here. We've had the highest boxed beef price since July 3rd, right around the big grilling season time. Why are we continuing to see such strong domestic demand?
Well, you know, that is the case, you know, because it's the supply-demand balance table. And right now, the supplies are large. But it's really the demand that has been the surprise. And I think the demand, you have to say, is really because of the economy. The economy is so strong. When you look at the cattle market in the fourth quarter, we're still going to have supplies 4.8% over a year ago. Our supplies are going to go up into the fourth quarter, where typically they go down. So, and then next year, when you look at it, supply is going to be up 2.3% again. We've had liquidation out of Australia with the dryness. We've had liquidation in the southern plains. At the same time, the big supplies were literally eating through them from a domestic standpoint. Exports also strong. Exports up 19% versus a year ago. So I think it's just that combination, strong domestic demand, strong economy, and strong exports.
If the economy continues to keep up here in the fourth quarter with that large supply, do you anticipate the demand to continue as well?
Well, I think it's really iffy if the demand is going to stay this strong, you know, because, you know, the economy's been very strong for so long. So I think you have to be a little bit careful. But also the Chinese negotiations, you know, there was some hope. You know, China basically doesn't take any beef from the United States. And so, you know, maybe there's a little bit of optimism there. But the government has cash prices in the fourth quarter, 109 to 115, so we're not that far off the pace of that.
Okay. Let's talk really quick here about feeders. Where do you see October feeders going from here?
Well, I think that feeder cattle market is really caught in a range. You know, the feeders can't push up too far because you have some of the feeders right now, break evens get around 118 on cattle already. So, you know, the feeder cattle market's probably caught. But, you know, I'd say it's a 145 to a 160 trading range on the feeder cattle right now.
Okay. We have to finish with hogs. They had an exciting day on Thursday with a limit up close. Was it because of the trade talks?
Well, I tell you, the hog market's been an amazing market because you had these huge supplies. We had a key reversal 7 days ago. We had a weekly reversal last week, the technical startup, but then we had the trifecta. We had you know, hopes that the Mexican trade deal is going to be done sooner rather than later. We had the African swine flu. Mm-hmm. The trade's very concerned with that. I mean, it's coming on the radar all the time. Disease is always a great equalizer for the hog market. So, you know, those two things really propelled us up along with the fund buying that also gave us a lift to the upside. So it's a market that is still supply bearish, but we have some of these factors that lifted us. From a basis standpoint, if you look at October hogs, they should be $42 right now, and we're close to $59. So it tells you the trade most definitely is banking that all of these things are going to come together in a positive way. We go home Friday very overbought, $12 run in just short order, and at risk management territory.
All right. Don Rose, I certainly appreciate your insight today.
Thank you.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. Harvest will soon be upon us. Send your harvest prep photos to post on our Facebook page. You can check out the entire photo collection by searching IPTV Market. Join us again next week when we look at how processors are bumping up shackle space to handle more hogs.